A decision facing every couple, and if you're a successful couple, you may have more options than everyone else who's facing the same issue. If you get married and you're happily married, you have to decide when to have a family. Jillian St. Lawrence and Paul St. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, thank you.
You've been married for about 10 years, it seems, right?
Almost.
And both of you very successful down there in Washington. Paul, what do you do?
I'm an attorney.
And Jillian, what do you do?
I manage the real estate firm that we own.
Now, every couple has to decide when it is they're going to have kids. Describe some of the details of your decision, Jillian.
We wanted to wait to the point that we were ready to give children the time we wanted to give them, but also have the financial resources that would enable us to do that and enable us to give a child everything we want to give them.
So the idea of waiting to have kids until you're a little bit more mature and a little bit more financially stable, Paul St. Lawrence, that's not new, but the way you've chosen to bank on a family in the future is relatively unusual. Explain the detail here.
Well, we use the technology people have heard of, IVF, to freeze embryos. There is a history of freezing embryos, but usually people want to use them right away to have children. We would like to hold off about 10 years and use the embryos then. You know, the ideal time to take our genetic material and freeze it, and then use it later for the, you know, ideal time for us to be parents.
Paul St. Lawrence, give us a sense of how the discussion went to make this decision between you and your wife.
Sure. We had kind of gotten to a point where we were very, you know, critical stage in our careers, had a lot of time commitments on our hands for things we felt very strongly about, but also, you know, we're at a time, you know, biologically where we kind of needed to make a decision about, you know, whether we were going to have children. And we actually reached the point where we thought that may not be a possibility for us, given, you know, all of the things we felt like we wanted to do and felt and the commitment we wanted to make if we actually had children. But my wife, in the process of doing some research, came across, you know, the possibility, the idea of freezing embryos based on the fact that it's been done more commonly now with people going through IVF, and took a look at whether it was a possibility we could do, not for the purpose of assisting with the fertility issue that we have, assisting more with a timing issue we really had, and be able to postpone the process of actually having children to a point later in life. We're very conscious of the fact that, you know, as you get older, the ability to have children and the ability to have healthy children is somewhat diminished by your age, and so we wanted to, you know, put ourselves in a position where our deciding to wait to have children didn't compromise the health of the child or, you know, my wife's health.
We should point out that it's going to cost you about $20,000 to actually carry this out in terms of maintaining the embryos, the actual IVF treatments themselves, the fertilization, and the reliance on doctors. So it's not something everyone can afford to do, right, Jillian?
True, but if you wait until your late 30s or 40 to have children, like many people are doing, you know, in urban areas to stay these days, you'll find that if you have to go into infertility that way, you're probably going to spend, you know, on average, there's a study of $71,000. So doing this now is going to be a lot cheaper than finding out you're having problems later on. And it's not like having children is cheap by any means.
Right.
Preservation IVF is a lot cheaper than having to go through the raising a child process and all the expenses associated with that right now.
Now, you know, some people listening to this might say, you know, this is a couple who actually can't make a decision, and so they're spending some money to actually postpone the decision. You're betting that by harvesting embryos now, you're getting the best of your genetic material. But plenty of people have kids in their, you know, early to mid-40s and do perfectly fine that way. What are you betting on here, Jillian?
Well, people trying to have kids in their early to mid-40s, there's actually a very small chance they're going to be able to do, you know, not suffer from infertility once you get past, you know, age 40 and not have any genetic disorders or, you know, or deal with miscarriages. You know, but that's something, you know, individual couples can go ahead and do, you know, if they choose. This is the right time for, you know, us waiting 10 years. Okay. It might not be for another couple.
But you also, I mean, Paul, you could have a situation where, you know, in 10 years, your wife's ability to implant an embryo may have diminished, even though you're getting the best of your genetic material, according to the statistics. Paul?
Interestingly, we've actually looked into that issue. We studied this extensively before going down this path. The age of the mother actually has very little to do with the ability to carry a successful pregnancy to term. Almost all of the negative statistics and potential side effects that you hear about from women having children in their late 30s to early 40s are related to the age of the egg and to some extent the sperm, which you're finding out more recently as well. We had one doctor who we spoke with basically say that the age of the mother is irrelevant in terms of her ability to carry to term a baby if it was produced from genetic material of younger parents. Now that's not to say, you know, we think carrying a child at age 50 or 60 is a great idea, but just it kind of emphasizes the fact that in looking at, you know, maximizing your ability to have children, you really need to be focusing on the age of conception.
And do 2/3 of women over 40 have fertility problems? That's according to the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. We should point that out. In some sense here, though, are you attempting to control a process and a moment in life that in many ways involves relinquishing control, and that is parenthood? You've got certain parameters down, but you got to make a leap at some point, Jillian.
Well, the way we like to put it is we're trying to control the things we can control, you know, like finances and the time you have available to give a child. You control that part, so then you have the freedom to enjoy a child and the freedom to let a child, you know, enjoy their life. Without those stresses there, you then can take on, you know, the chaos that obviously a child would bring into your life, and it's going to be more enjoyable for everyone involved.
So which one of you is going to retire in 10 years? Have you decided that yet?
We don't want it to be, hey, it's both parents contributing.
So it's still, you'll maintain a two-income household. It'll just be with a larger bank account, you hope, right, Paul?
Well, we hope professional flexibility is what we'll have so that we can each contribute to raising a child. It's not going to be one parent or the other.
Yeah, we both want to be involved.
I have 5 kids. So just a little advice for you guys. There's going to be some unforeseen moments.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
We bank on that.
All right, very good. Paul St. Lawrence, lawyer with a large firm in Washington, D.C., banking on kids by putting embryos away for 10 years, frozen embryos. Jillian St. Lawrence owns a real estate investment firm. Good luck to you, Jillian.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.